Masechta Mura, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Aleph, until Perek Zayin, Mishnah Daled. Just like much of the Masechta has involved itself in general laws regarding that which is owned by Hekdash, by the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash, the first half of this Perek also talks about the two different types of Hekdash that exist. Something which has Kedushas HaGuf, intrinsic sanctification and holiness. It's going to be used as part of the service in the Beis HaMikdash itself. For example, an animal which is going to be brought as a korban, or wine, that the wine itself is going to be poured onto the Mizbeach. And the second type is called Kedushas Domim, an item which is considered to be sanctified, but only in terms of its value, which means that the item itself is not going to be used within the actual service of the Beis HaMikdash, but rather it's going to be sold, and the money which is received from selling it goes towards upkeeping and maintaining the Beis HaMikdash. So the mission begins, Yesh B'Kodesh HaMizbeach, there exists certain laws and stringencies which apply specifically to korbanos which are going to be offered up on the Mizbeach, Masha'im B'Kodesh Bedek HaBayis, and these laws do not apply to other items which have been designated towards the Beis HaMikdash and have Kedushas Domim, which means that they need to be sold, etc., but the items themselves have not got intrinsic holiness. On the other hand, Yesh B'Kodesh HaMizbeach, Masha'im B'Kodesh HaMizbeach, there are certain laws and stringencies which exist and apply to items which have been designated to the Beis HaMikdash and which need to be sold and then the money used to maintain the Beis HaMikdash, and those laws do not apply to animals which are going to be bought on the Mizbeach as korbanos. And this Mishnah will list those things which apply specifically to korbanos. Shekodesh HaMizbeach Osim Tamura, number one, the subject of our Masechta. Animals which have been designated to be offered up as korbanos on the Mizbeach can create tamura if somebody tries to replace it, like we have learned throughout the Masechta. This, of course, only applies to korbanos and not to any other items which have sanctity and belong to the treasury of the Beit HaMikdash. V'chayavin aleihem mishum pigel, and there is a liability of kores, which is a very severe punishment of being, so to speak, cut off from Hashem, for one who violates pigel. Pigel refers to a korban where during the procedure of offering up this korban, during one of the key stages of processing the korban, the one who is performing that procedure had the intention that this korban, this sacrifice, will be eaten or burnt on the Mizbeach past the time limit that is given to do that. That intention invalidates the korban. That korban is now known as pigel, and if somebody ends up eating the meat of that korban, he is liable to the punishment of kores, noisar. Likewise, if somebody eats a valid korban after the deadline for eating it, he is also liable to the severe punishment of kores, v'tomei. Or if somebody who is impure eats the meat of a korban, he would also be liable to kores. All of these things, of course, only apply to a korban and not to any other items which belong to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the law is, like we've seen a number of times in this Masechta, that if an animal which has been designated to be bought as a korban develops a blemish which invalidates it from being bought as a korban, at that point, the animal needs to be redeemed, which means that the sanctity will be taken from there onto money, and then the money will go towards buying a replacement korban. However, even once the animal has been redeemed, it still does retain a part of the sanctity and holiness that it once had as a animal designated to be brought as a korban. And as such, uvlodon v'chalovon osur l'achapijaynon, the child of such an animal, as long as the child was conceived before it was redeemed, even if it was redeemed before the child is born, it is forbidden to benefit from that child after the korban has been redeemed, and likewise it's forbidden to benefit from the milk which is produced by that animal, even if it is produced after the animal has been redeemed. It should be noted, by the way, that the animal which is born, although it has sanctity and one cannot benefit from that child, one is also not able to offer up that child of the korban which has been redeemed. Because since its mother was redeemed before giving birth to this new animal, that took away and removed part of that sanctity which still exists on the child. So the child is now sort of in a middle stage where it's not fully sanctified, so it can't be offered up as a korban. However, it is somewhat holy, and therefore it's forbidden to benefit from it, and therefore the child would need to be left to die by itself because there's nothing else that we can do with that animal. One who slaughters a animal for the sake of bringing it as a korban, and he slaughters it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, chayev, He is liable to the severe punishment of kores, as the Torah prescribes. And of course, this only applies to korbanos, but not to other items which belong to the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'einosim lehen lo'umnim v'scharan. One cannot give the korbanos, or money which has been designated for use for korbanos, that cannot be given to craftsmen and people who work building the Beis HaMikdash. Although it's learned from Pesukim that other items which belong to the Beis HaMikdash can be used for the wages of these workers who make the Beis HaMikdash, who build it, that only applies to regular items which belong to the Beis HaMikdash. But an animal which already belongs, which has been designated to be brought as a korban, this would not go towards the workers, since there are certain rights to the korbanos which people have. For example, the hides of the animal are given to kohanim, the meat is given either to kohanim or to the owner who is bringing the korban, and we cannot deprive them of their rights by giving the korbanos to the workers who help to build the Beis HaMikdash. Mishnah Base. On the other hand, yesh b'kodjim b'nei kabayis, mashim b'kodjim hamizbeach, there are certain laws and stringencies which apply to regular items which have been designated to the Beis HaMikdash and need to be sold, and whose money will be used to maintain and upkeep the Beis HaMikdash, and these laws do not apply to korbanos which are going to be offered up on the Mizbeach. Firstly, shastam hekdeshes b'nei kabayis, an unspecified designation of something towards the Beis HaMikdash goes towards b'nei kabayis, towards maintaining and upkeeping the Beis HaMikdash, even if that item is an animal which could technically be offered up as a korban. We understand that a person's intention in such a case is for it to be used for upkeeping the Beis HaMikdash, unless he specified that he wants it to be a korban. We understand that his intention is probably that it just be in order to upkeep and maintain the Beis HaMikdash going. Therefore, it would go towards b'nei kabayis, the maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash. Secondly, hekdesh b'nei kabayis chol ala kol. This type of hekdesh applies to everything, whereas, of course, korbanos only apply to specific animals which have no blemishes and fulfill certain conditions for them to be valid korbanos. Whereas this, since it's just the value that we're concerned about, it would apply to all different items. And in a similar vein, mu'alim b'gidulehen, me'ila, which is the prohibition and punishment for one who benefits from that which belongs to the Beis HaMikdash for his own use. His punishment is that he has to bring a certain korban, and he also has to pay back the value of that item from which he benefited, plus a fifth of its value. Be as it may, all of this applies even to that which grows from the item which was designated to the Beis HaMikdash. The reason being that there's no essential difference between the item itself which was designated to the Beis HaMikdash and that which comes out of it. For example, the milk which comes out of the animal which was designated towards the Beis HaMikdash. In the same way as the animal itself, only its value has sanctity, so the milk which comes out of it as well, the value of it has sanctity. This is unlike a animal which has been designated as a korban. The milk which comes out of that item, out of that animal, obviously, that milk cannot be used for the same purpose as the animal itself. The milk cannot be brought as a korban, and therefore the type of sanctity which the animal has is not passed on to the milk, and therefore me'ila would not apply to that which grows, for example, milk which comes out of the korban animal, but it would apply to an item like an animal, even, which was designated towards the Bedek HaBayis, towards the maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash, since that exact sanctity of its value can equally apply to the milk and anything else which would come out of the animal or the item. And finally, v'ein bahem hanah l'kohanim, kohanim have no benefit from that which has been designated towards the maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash. This is unlike korbanos, to which kohanim have certain rights. For example, the hides, the skins of animals which are brought as korbanos go towards the kohanim who are serving in the Beis HaMikdash during that week, as well as the meat of certain korbanos, but no such rights apply to things which have been designated to hekdesh of bedek habayis. Mishnah Gimel. Echel kodshim mizbeach v'echel kodshim bedek habayis. Both animals which are designated to be brought as korbanos on the mizbeach, as well as any items which have been designated towards bedek habayis, towards being used and sold, and whose money will be used for the maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash. So the following laws apply to all types of hekdesh, all types of items which have been designated towards the Beis HaMikdash. Ein mashanin oisam mekedusha lekedusha, one is not able to change them from one type of sanctity to another. Meaning if the animal is designated for a specific type of korban, for example, then one is not able to change it into a different type of carbon. It already is designated for a specific purpose that cannot be changed. Apart from the fact that once it's been sanctified for the Beis HaMikdash, it no longer belongs to you. So even if you do try to change it, you're not the owner of the item, and therefore, obviously, you're not able to sanctify it for something else. But either way, because it's been designated for a specific purpose, that cannot be changed by anybody. And it's not only from one type of carbon to another type of carbon, it would also be from any different type of purpose in the Beis HaMikdash. However, when it comes to karbonos, umakdishinos on hekdash ilui, one is able to sanctify them as hekdash ilui. What is the concept of hekdash ilui? So if you think about it, once an item has been sanctified to be a karbon, there is a certain level of ownership which is still retained by the one who is bringing the karbon. For example, if let's say somebody makes a neder, he makes a vow that he's going to offer up a voluntary carbon, and he separates an animal and designates that animal to be used for fulfilling his neder. If that animal, let's say, dies before he manages to offer it up as a carbon, he now needs to go and designate a different animal to be brought as a carbon, which is an expense for him. So it emerges that even once he's sanctified the animal, the first animal, as a carbon, for him, that animal is worth its entire worth. Because it's due to him being able to bring that animal as the carbon that he doesn't have to spend that money on a different animal to bring the different animal as a replacement. For his own sake, so that he can save other money, as it were, not need to spend more money on a new carbon, that animal, it's this animal which saves him from spending money on a different animal. So that amount of money that he would spend on the other animal is how much this animal is worth for him, which is essentially the entire worth of the animal. So although the body of the animal itself certainly is sanctified and does not belong to him anymore, because it is going to be bought as a carbon, unless it will develop a blemish or anything, so if he does sanctify it and he declares that I want this animal to be a carbon, since he is still considered to be the owner of the value of the carbon, to a certain extent, he does have that ownership on the animal. So his declaration of sanctifying that animal does have significance, and he would need to pay the value of that animal towards bringing a carbon. This is one example of Hekdash Ilui, where he had made a vow to bring a carbon. The truth is, even if he only designated a specific animal to bring in as a carbon, such that if that animal dies, he won't be obligated to bring a replacement, even in that case, he's still, the fact that he's the one bringing the carbon does give him a certain right, for example, to decide which kohen he wants to offer out the carbon for him, and the law is that the kohen who will offer out that carbon for him will receive the hides of the animal. That kohen would have certain rights. So the fact that the person bringing the carbon is able to choose which kohen will bring it for him, and that kohen will be grateful towards him, that's also a certain right which the one bringing the carbon has over the animal. It's something which he could technically sell, the right to choose which kohen will offer out that carbon. That's the extent of the ownership which he has over the animal, and therefore if he sanctifies this animal as a carbon, that does have significance to the extent of the worth of that benefit that he has from the animal, and according to that amount of money he would need to spend towards bringing a carbon. Likewise, machrimonoson, one can make a cherem, which is a type of vow to give the item either to kohanim or towards the maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash. Those are two different types of cherem vows, but the point is the same, would be a type of hekdash ilui, where according to that value of the ownership which she still does have over the animal, and the monetary benefit which he gets from this animal which is going to be bought as a carbon, that is the amount of money he would give towards the kohanim or the Beis HaMikdash, depending on what type of cherem he declared. Continues the Mishnah, v'mesu, if the animal dies, either the carbon or any animal which has been designated towards the Beis HaMikdash, yikaveru, the animal needs to be buried, since it cannot be redeemed. One reason why it can't be redeemed is because a dead animal can't even be eaten, which means that it's going to end up being fed to the dogs, and it's considered to be a disgrace to redeem something from the Beis HaMikdash and to take off its sanctity only in order to feed it to the dogs. And in addition, it's learned from Psukim, part of the redemption process is standing the animal up in front of a kohen for him to evaluate it,
And that is not possible once the animal has died. So since one cannot benefit from the animal, it needs to be buried. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Kod Berek HaBayis in Meisu, an animal which has been designated for Berek HaBayis, but it's not going to be brought as a korban itself, Yipodu, that can be redeemed, because according to Rabbi Shimon, that posuk which talks about evaluating the animal in front of a koyein and standing it up in front of the koyein only applies to korbanos. And in addition, Rabbi Shimon apparently understands that we are not concerned about disgracing the hekdesh, at least this type of hekdesh, by redeeming it in order to feed it to the dogs. Mishnah Dalet. The Mishnah so goes a little bit sidetracked because the end of the previous Mishnah talked about how a animal which is hekdesh, which dies, needs to be buried since it's forbidden to benefit from it. Now, the fact that you need to bury it is a midrabbanon requirement, in order that it doesn't just get left around and somebody will come to benefit from it. And the Mishnah is going to list other types of items which it's forbidden to benefit from, and therefore there too, midrabbanon, one is obligated to bury that item. The Elohim and Ikborim, the following items are forbidden to benefit from, and therefore they need to be buried. Kochim She'epilu, Karbonos which miscarry. Yikovru, the fetus needs to be buried because it has sanctity to it, and obviously it cannot be brought as a korban itself. Hepilo shilyo tikover, even if it just miscarries the sac in which the fetus generally grows, if that comes out of the body of the mother animal, then it's assumed that there is a fetus somewhere in there, even if it can't be recognizable and it can't be seen, we still assume that there is that there, and therefore it needs to be buried. Tikover needs to be buried. Shor haniskol, a ox or any other animal which needs to be stoned and killed. That would be in a case where the animal kills a human being, a Jew, or if the animal was involved in bestiality, it had relations and lay down with a person. The law is that the animal needs to be killed, and it's forbidden to benefit from it. Ve'egla arufa, if a dead body is found that has been killed outside of a city, and it's unknown who killed that person. So the members of the nearest city, the basin of the nearest city, need to go to that site, and they go down to a valley which is near to that site, and they bring a calf, and they break the neck of the calf, and go through a whole procedure. So the Egla Rufa refers to that calf whose neck has been broken, and it's forbidden to benefit from it, and therefore Midrabbanon, it needs to be buried. Over there, it's a Purim Metzorah, the birds of a Metzorah. A Metzorah is somebody who has Tzoras, which is certain spots on the skin, which make him impure, and at the end of him being a Metzorah, he has to bring Korbanos. And part of the procedure that he brings two birds, one of the birds is slaughtered, and one of them is set free. So the bird which is slaughtered, it is forbidden to benefit from it, it's not brought as a korban, and it needs to be buried so that one doesn't come to benefit from it. U Peter Hamar, the firstborn donkey, there is a mitzvah to redeem this onto a sheep and to give that sheep to a koyein. However, if the owner does not redeem it, then its neck needs to be broken, and it's forbidden to benefit from that firstborn donkey. U Vosa Becholov, meat which was cooked with milk, it's forbidden to benefit from that. V'chun Shenishchetu Ba'azara, and a non-sanctified animal which was slaughtered in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, it is forbidden to do that, and it's even forbidden to benefit from that animal and from the meat once you have slaughtered it in that way. Rabbi Shimon says, Chulin Shnishchatu Ba'azara Yisarfu, a non-sanctified animal which was slaughtered in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash needs to be burnt, just like any korban which became invalidated needs to be burnt. Since this happened in the Beis HaMikdash, people might confuse it with a korban which had become invalidated, and if they see you burying this, they might think that even a korban which becomes invalidated can just be buried, and it doesn't need to be burnt. Although the truth is, the Torah itself, the Oraisa, requires that a korban which becomes invalidated needs to be burnt. So in order to avoid people not fulfilling the requirement of the Torah in such a case, the chulin would need to be burnt instead of just being buried. Similarly, a more wild animal like a deer, which was slaughtered in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, a deer is not a korban ever, and therefore it certainly would not be a sanctified animal. And although people would not mistake this for being a korban which became invalidated, because a deer can never be bought as a korban, even in that case, we don't start making exceptions, and therefore Rabbi Shimon says that even in that case, the animal would need to be burnt, and it is not sufficient to just bury it.